Hey everyone, we made it. It's Friday and you already know Fridays rock. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10 and I'm so pumped to be right here with you. Let's finish this week strong. We're going to start in Florida where another hurricane has made landfall. Hurricane Nicole slammed into Florida's East Coast Thursday morning as a Category 1 storm, according to the National Hurricane Center. Wind speeds reached 75 miles per hour as the storm made landfall. But after moving inland, Nicole weakened to a tropical storm. When we recorded our show, more than 300,000 residents across Florida were without power, and coastal residents in Florida and Georgia were impacted by storm surge, or an abnormal rise of water generated by a storm. The National Weather Service says that almost half of all deaths from tropical storms, which have wind speeds registering 39 to 73 miles per hour, come from storm surge. Nicole's storm surge measured nearly 6 feet and water levels remain high. Nicole is the first U.S. hurricane in November in nearly 40 years. The storm is the latest in this calendar year in which hurricanes have had major blows to Florida's Atlantic coast, the most recent being Hurricane Ian, which struck the state in September. That storm was the deadliest hurricane to strike Florida since 1935. At least 147 people died as homes and businesses were destroyed. Some communities in Florida were still recovering from Hurricane Ian when Hurricane Nicole hit this week. Here's more now from CNN correspondent Chris Nguyen in Florida amid the storm.
High winds, heavy rains, and significant flooding were expected throughout the night. You can see the intensity of the conditions here in Cocoa Beach, which is why officials were urging the public to stay home as the hurricane got closer to making landfall here in Florida. Now, earlier today, we were at a local supermarket as folks were stocking up on the necessities, really preparing for the potential for power outages for the next day or so. At least 16,000 utility workers are currently on standby here in Florida to help with power restoration efforts. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis also saying that he's activated at least 600 Florida National Guard troops to assist with search and rescue efforts if and when necessary. Now, residents here in Brevard County were not required to undergo a mandatory evacuation. It was simply an advisory, but you could sense that folks here were serious in terms of taking the advice of officials. Businesses closed up early, and for the most part, roads remained bare throughout the day.
10-second trivia. Veterans Day originated with an observance marking the end of what war? The U.S. Civil War, World War I, World War II, or the Vietnam War? The holiday observed on November 11th recalls Armistice Day, marking the end of World War I. Today, November 11th, is Veterans Day in the United States. It all started back in November of 1918 on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year. An armistice went into effect, ending the fighting in World War I. A year later, people in the United States first observed Armistice Day. 20 years later, after World War II, the day became an official national holiday. Then, after the Korean War in 1954, the name of Armistice Day was changed. It's been known as Veterans Day ever since. The event honors everyone who served in the U.S. Armed Forces. Events are scheduled throughout the day, today, as Americans pause to thank, salute, remember, and respect the service and sacrifices of all who served. Next up, we're going surfing in Tahiti, and we're going to explore a playground of underwater enchantment. In 2019, the World Surf League partnered with the nonprofit Coral Gardens on a special mission to save the dying coral in the region. Coral is key to our environment, and these surfers are learning the science of how to preserve and regenerate the coral reef population in Tahiti. In addition to riding a jaw-dropping wave, let's go there now with my colleague, Johnny Velasquez.
Welcome to Tahiti, an island formed from volcanoes in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean, a paradise of lush mountains, a diverse ecosystem and marine life. It's a playground of underwater enchantment. And that's where the adventure begins. At World Surf League's illustrious, outer-known Tahiti Pro, I flew to Tahiti. I wanted to find out why the world's most elite surfers would lay their life on the line to ride this wave. Was it for the thrill? Maybe they were chasing that feeling of immortality?
Tiapu is considered the most dangerous wave in the world. What is it like surfing it?
It can be so scary, but when you overcome that fear, you can get the best wave of your life out there.
I think Chopu is one of the heaviest waves in the world just because the amount of volume of water that comes in.
As we often find out in life, not everything is as beautiful as what meets the eye. In this place of pure bliss, underneath the surface, in the most crystal clear water I've ever seen, the reef is dying. In 2019, World Surf League partnered with an organization called Coral Gardeners. It's led by Tichuan Burnicote. Tichuan is from the sister island of Tahiti called Moorea. He and his crew have dedicated their entire lives to saving the reef. They do it through a process called coral reef rehabilitation. I met up with him. I was fascinated with this concept and wanted to learn more.
At the moment, on our planet, the coral reef conditions are not good. They are here on planet Earth since 400 million years, but in just 3 decades, we already lost 20% of our world's coral reef. Scientists estimate that by 2050, 90% of the remaining one could be condemned. So it's an emergency.
After my chat with Tichuan, I still wanted to know more about the reef restoration process. I wanted to further understand the science behind it all. I connected with former professional surfer Kaipo Guerrero, who now works as an analyst and commentator for World Surf League.
What's happening with the rehabilitation program is we're taking basically super coral, so coral that have not succumbed to bleaching and the warming of ocean waters. Now those super coral, what we are able to do is take a piece of that coral and then graft it, put it on a line, and let that piece of coral grow. And really, when you talk about coral, coral's an animal, right? It's coral polyps. And within that coral structure, that's kind of the hive or kind of the house for the coral polyps. So they keep on procreating and they keep on growing. They keep on building a bigger, bigger house.
Is it too late to save the reef?
There's still time to save the reef. It's not too late. We can change our ways. We can bring back the reef. And that's what, you know, the good work at Coral Gardeners is doing. And planting new coral, we're not too far gone. We can make a change right now and we can turn the corner and turn it around. So it's not too late.
For today's 10 out of 10, we're traveling to Israel where researchers made a discovery that left them scratching their heads. A 7-word inscription was discovered by accident on a 3,700-year-old comb made of ivory. It says, "May this tusk root out the lice of the hair and the beard." Looks like lice have been annoying people for a long time. The discovery is considered to be the oldest known full sentence in the ancient Canaanite language. Happy Friday, lovely people. Keep in touch at Koi Wire on Insta, Snapchat, and TikTok. We're CNN10 on YouTube. And we want to give a special shout out now to Hickman High School in Columbia, Missouri. Have a wonderful weekend, and remember, you are more powerful than you know. I'm Koi. This is CNN 10. It's been a blessing to spend this week with you.